The Gospel of the Lord. You would think that the 12 apostles, having been fishermen, would know how to avoid being out on the Sea of Galilee during a storm. You would think that these men who, before Jesus called them, had spent days upon days, night upon night, out on this large body of water, you would think that this time would have made them familiar with the weather patterns, how to tell when a storm was going to come, when it would be safe to go out in a boat, and when it would be more prudent to stay on shore and not to cast out. But I guess the Gospels don't tell us that they were good fishermen, or maybe I should give them a little slack. They were fishermen and not weathermen. Regardless, the apostles find themselves in quite the predicament in today's gospel. A violent storm is whipped up, and water is crashing over the side of the boat. And these weathered fishermen, who are used to being out on rough water, are fearing for their lives. And Jesus, the son of a carpenter, is asleep on a cushion. You could say that this is the first miracle in today's gospel, that these fishermen are worried for their lives while the carpenter is asleep in the boat. And so the apostles come to the conclusion, fearing for their lives, well, the only person that can help us now is God. So it's a good thing he was in the boat with them. So they turn to Jesus. They say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" I find this question interesting because they didn't ask him, "Jesus, can you do something about this? Do you have the power to change this?" There must have been some belief that the apostles believed he could calm the storm, because they say, "Do you not care about us? Don't you see we're in danger? Help us." After being with Jesus for even a short amount of time and seeing the miracles that Jesus had performed up to this point, they had already built a certain amount of faith. They had seen Jesus heal Peter's mother-in-law, heal a man with a withered hand. They had seen him cast out demons. And all of this, only four chapters into Mark's gospel, when today's occurrence takes place. They have faith, a certain amount of faith, but there's still this unsureness about, does Jesus care about us? Do you not care that we are perishing? And so Jesus, being who he is, calms the storm because the apostles turn to him in their time of need. This probably pleased Christ that his apostles turned to him. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't say, "What do you want me to do?" or "Why are you asking me for a miracle?" He was probably pleased that he turned to them, that they turned to him in their time of need. Brothers and sisters, I think in life we can sometimes be in the same situation as the apostles. We find ourselves caught out in a storm, and we turn to the Lord and we ask him, "Lord, do you not care about me? Do you not see me in this situation that I'm currently in? Lord, my family member's sick. Don't you see what's going on? Why are you not helping me? Lord, how am I supposed to pay the bills when the paycheck has stopped coming? Where are you, Lord?" There are many moments throughout our life when it can seem like we are alone to face this storm. So we can turn to this gospel and take faith in it, because Jesus is with us amongst the storm, amidst the storm. While the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing, Christ is still there with us. It can be hard to see sometimes, but if we cry out to him, he is there. St. Paul tells us in the second reading, the love of Christ impels us. Or the love of Christ urges us on, particularly during hardship. But what exactly does the love of Christ look like? That's the love of Christ. That's the love of Christ. He died for each and every one of us. He cares about us. He cares so much about each and every one of us that he became man and died for our sins and left us with a memorial of his body and blood so that we could receive him into our body, so that he could be our daily bread, so that he could sustain us during those hard times when it just seems like life is overwhelming. Jesus is still there. So that's the first lesson that we can learn from this gospel, is just love of Christ for us, and our love for Christ urges us on. He is there. He is with us, and he cares for us. Not just us in the sense of an assembly. I mean, yes, that's true. But each and every one of us, he cares about me. He cares about you. He loves us. I think a second lesson that we can learn from today's gospel, St. Augustine puts it very bluntly, is to wake up the Lord. He's in the boat with us. And in times where we need the Lord in our lives, wake him up. He's in the boat. Just wake him up. Jesus, who is God, who is the Lord of the earth, who we heard in the first reading from Job, he set limits on the waters, on the seas during creation. He created the world. He is with us. We just have to call upon him. Sometimes in our prayer lives, it can seem like the Lord is distant. And the great saints tell us that when we feel this distance between us and the Lord, there's either two things going on. Either one, the Lord is trying to teach us how to love him more. He's trying to draw us deeper into relationship with him. But the second is much more simple. They say, we need to pray more. We have caused this distance. We have not drawn near to the Lord because we're just simply not praying. So wake up the Lord through prayer. Turn to him during our time of need. I have some friends who practice what they call the 1% challenge. It's a little thing that they've come up, but they've decided that they're going to spend 1% of each day in prayer, which is 15 minutes. 1% of the 24 hours that God gives us every day, they'll spend 15 minutes of it in prayer. That's a way that they stay close to the Lord. They stir up that love, that Christ stays alive and awake within their hearts. I think another great way that we can awaken Christ in our hearts is to spend time in adoration. As you know, we are trying to continue to build up the amount of time every week that we have Eucharistic adoration here in our parish. And right now we have Monday morning to Tuesday evening filled, but we could use more people. We could use more people with the Lord. We could use multiple people in those hours that we currently have. Some of those hours only have one person, but it's a great way to spend time with the Lord. For any parents out there who are hoping for a religious vocation in the family, I can tell you from my own personal experience, my own vocation story, that time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, even as a little child, is time well spent. Even as a 5th, 6th, 7th grader, the Lord started working in my heart. He started planting the seed of my vocation. So parents, if you want a religious vocation in the family, or just need time to get away from everything, the Adoration Chapel is a great place to do that. It's a great place to awaken the Lord in our hearts. So when the storms of life come, take courage, persevere. Know that the Lord is there for us. He cares about us intimately. His love for us, our love for him, urges us on. St. Paul tells us that because of what Christ has done for us, we are made a new creation. We are not just made for this world, but we are made for the next. So there will always be that tension that we are on a pilgrimage, we are on a journey, and there will be many things that try to turn us aside. But Christ keeps us moving towards him so that we can be with him for eternity. So just remember, brothers and sisters, when the storms of life hit, Christ is there in the boat with us. Sometimes we just have to wake him up, stir him up within our hearts. Remember, he will not let us perish.